Today's scripture reading will be from John 9, 1 through 5. John 9, 1 through 5. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is this day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world."
Good morning. Glad to have each and every one of you here on this fine Sunday morning to hear another portion of the Lord's Word. You know, our weather keeps changing, and we keep trying to decide whether it's going to be warm or cold, but it's refreshing to have the cold air when you can breathe it and it's clear. But it's also nice to have that warm air when you get home in that house. And this morning I have entitled my introduction, "A Story of Courage." You know, all the times we hear things in the news of some things bad happening, don't we? It's kind of rare where we really hear an act of courage go about. But there are those who have done courageous things all around us, and we never hear about them or know them. This morning I would like to start by sharing with you a verse of the song, "Is All the Way My Savior Leads Me." Now, it was written by a very interesting person. Her name was Fanny Crosby, and she's written this song in 1875, but she's written other songs that we have in our hymn books here before us this morning. Like, for example, "Blessed Assurance" on page 480, or "Tell Me the Story of Jesus" on page 387. She went on to write numerous, numerous songs. You see, but what makes it interesting about her story is, you see, when she was 6 weeks old, she was made blind by a doctor's mistake. And therefore, she lost her vision for the rest of her life. At the age of 6 weeks, that's awful young, isn't it? And yet she didn't let that hold her down. She went throughout her life doing all kinds of things. And this is one of the songs that she wrote. And I just want to read the first verse here. It says, "All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask besides? Can I doubt his tender mercies, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befalls me, Jesus does all things well." Imagine, that's quite a burden to carry, isn't it? Now, at 6 weeks, obviously you don't think she ever remembered the fact of what she could see. But nevertheless, she knew those around her could see. And it was a burden that she could carry. She could have been very bitter for the rest of her life by that mistake. But she wasn't. She went on to be able to memorize a great portion of the Bible. Not only that, she wrote over 8,000 songs of praise to God. It's amazing. Somebody who couldn't see could write such beautiful songs and have them sung even as we sing here in our own hymn books. And you know, when she was asked why, how she felt why she was blind, her response really kind of moved me. She says, "Blindness is the best thing that ever could have happened to me. How in the world could I have ever lived such a helpful life had I not been blind?" You see, Fanny had the whole love of God in mind. She knew that for whatever reason she was here on this earth, he had a positive outlook, and that she could in some way be of an asset and a benefit of as a child of God. She could bring blessings to them even though she may never be able to see them. So now I hope that you will open your Bible so we can study together this morning, as I've entitled our lesson, "Understanding Why." Now let me introduce you to another couple, Rudy and Arlene Crane and their daughter Caroline. Now these are two folks who were Christians, and their child was born with spina bifida. Not only did she have that, but she was blind and deaf. Now, while in the hospital, the doctors told her she would never talk, she would never have any quality of life, and it would be better for them to put her in some home. They disregarded that. They took her home, and they gave her loving care for 25 years. Even though the doctors said she needed to be in a facility, they took her home and shared their love on her. And as a result of that, throughout her life, although short it was, they heard her say three words, something that she was never supposed to be able to do. She said, Mama, Dada, and Jesus. Now that's not much. That's the only words they ever heard her say. But that was enough. It was enough because it rewarded them for what they knew that they had done a good job by taking care of this child that could not take care of herself. You see, these were regular people who were in a very most difficult situation. Something that many would have acted very differently. But they chose to love their child. They chose to do things that they would have never thought that they would be able to do. And then they reflected the love of the Savior that they believed in on the one they loved unconditionally. No matter what else anybody said, they took care of her and provided for her. And in return, they received all kinds of love back to her, even though it find it difficult how she could express it. But they understood that when you have the love of the Savior in your soul, then you know that you must pass that on. Now, this story may really hit you. Because I don't know, but you know if there's been something in your life that's caused you to suffer and sacrifice for some reason, then this story could have special meaning. Because that's the way it affects people, isn't it? We hear about things in life, and we then relate them to our own life and things we've experienced, and sometimes it even causes us to change our path. And one of the things that come out of this is people always ask, why? Why do these horrible things happen? And you see, it's all in your perspective, and there are a lot of things horrible that do happen. You know, pain is part of life, isn't it? And because of that, we're forced to see on the evening news all kinds of unspeakable things. Things that just rip your heart out. Like what happened a week ago, Friday. There in Florida at that high school. Things like that cause us to just fear life itself in the public eye. We don't know what's going to happen next. Or the shooting they had a few months back in Las Vegas. These horrible things happen, no rhyme or reason. And yet great devastation comes. This morning, if you're sitting here and you're not in the Lord's body, if you're not taking Jesus as your Savior, if you feel that you're out there and you can do it on your own, I encourage you to read the Holy Word of God. You see, if you study the Word of God and you study and you listen to Him, then you begin to look at life a little differently. You know, if we just look at that and understand what God said and how He sent His Son, gave the greatest gift possible so that we could have salvation, it could change your life as well. Just look at the Cranes, how the Lord worked in their life. A daughter they could have sloughed off to some facility and never remembered again, they didn't do that. Through the love that they had for the Lord, they sacrificed and gave all the love they could give to this daughter. And in return, they received great love back by those three words. Something nobody else had said that she would ever be able to do. You know, there's not a person ever to live on this world that understands that any more than our Savior, Jesus Christ. Through His life, His birth, His life, His suffering on that cross, His death, and His resurrection. He understands that whole cycle. He understands the pain. He understands the grieving as He walked through this life. And as a result of it, He gave us the opportunity, if we believe and obey Him, to have everlasting life. It is also true that Jesus is our defender, our counselor, and our friend. He is the one who gives us strength and support when these devastating blows come to get through them. And no matter what happens, as we live every day, we know that He is there watching over us. But there's another thing in times of struggle for us to understand. We want to know why pains like this and why terrible things, these hurts come, especially to those who we love. You know, sometimes it really hurts us more when we see somebody we love hurting than when it actually comes to us. Sometimes we accept whatever comes our way. But when we see our loved ones hurt, it really tears at our heartstrings and makes us wonder, why has the Lord allowed this anguish and torment and this affliction and these troubles to come? Why didn't He just stop it before it ever came? Why does He allow it? You know, perhaps sometimes we even want to know. You know, if He didn't want to stop this hurt, if He didn't feel it necessary to stop this pain, then could He please explain it? so that we might feel a little bit better about it as well. And you know, some of those sad screams of the unanswered why cause great emotional conflict with those who live and those who are not suffering, because it causes them to wonder, well, does God even care anymore? He may wonder if he's out there or he's helpless, maybe he can't do anything anymore. Because you see, when we look at things in life, we always put it at our perspective. Sometimes it's hard for us to climb over or get around these obstacles in life that we know we must. And sometimes it's just so difficult, we want to give up. Sometimes it's hard on all of us. You know, we as parents or grandparents, when we see our young ones, our little ones that are suffering in pain, we would do anything within our power to take that away. If it were possible, we would gladly take their pain into our bodies so they wouldn't have to suffer. If it were possible, then we would gladly give our life in exchange for theirs, if that was the way things were. Without any hesitation or regret, we would do that because we love them with all of our hearts. We want them to be good and safe and healthy. And so we would go out of our way to do everything we can. But you know, one of the frustrating things about that is that even though we have all that love, we have all that to give, sometimes it's beyond our ability to make our wishes a reality. See, we can't do things that are impossible for us. We have great limitations when it comes something beyond what somebody else is experiencing, how much we can do to help. But see, that's not beyond the Lord's ability. He doesn't have our shortcomings. He doesn't have the limited power that we do. And because of that reason, there are times when we fear that maybe God doesn't care. Maybe he's given up. And we begin to struggle with the idea that maybe he's helpless, or even the idea that maybe God was mad at us for some reason, or them, that he decided to send a divine power of punishment down on someone. And that's not a new question. As Jesus and his disciples were going through, they came upon a man who had been born blind. And as a result of that, they asked that very kind of question. They asked Jesus, if you remember, was it his father or mother or him? Who sinned? There in John 9 and verse 2. Rabbi, who sinned? This man, his parents, that he was born blind. You see, they looked at that and said, well, wait a minute. We understand that in the past, when people have done things wrong, they've been punished. Well, Jesus looked at them and understood what they were asking. Because we know as our own parents that we would do anything to prevent that from happening. And he will answer them here in just a moment. But these disciples were aware of the fact that other people, even nations and family, had been punished in history, in their own Jewish history, because of what they had done wrong. And so they naturally kind of came to that conclusion. It made sense to them, as it does to many today. Now, if you doubt me, just look at our court system. Is that not the idea, the premise that it's even based on? If somebody does something wrong, if they do a criminal act, that they must pay the price. Whatever commensurate punishment is due, then that's what they are to pay. And if we really look at it, we really truly can't say that that's an unfair system. Oh, it may be administered unfairly at times based on inappropriate or lack of information. But the principle is sound. It is so sound that is exactly the principle we will face on that day of judgment. I'll guarantee you one thing. On that day of judgment, all the information will be absolutely correct and true. There'll be no misinformation on that day. No way around it. We will be a judge by what we have done. But now, we may not understand why innocent people, the ones that we love and know, seem to be punished by the sins of others. We see acts all the time. We hear about them on the news, tragedies. Things that happen, you know, we even hear national or international news how an evil person takes power, hungry for power. And as a result of it, watch the nation or their countrymen go downhill, the poor starve. People remain in prisons. Anybody who come up against them will be eliminated. We look around nationally, we see people in the news where they've been worked all their life and put away a savings for their retirement. only to have it taken away by somebody who was greedy and had access to that money. Some executive of the company or the bank. Somebody who was managing their funds. You know, we look around and we find that if you've ever heard this or saw this, it's bone-chilling. A new baby is born. I guess there are no old babies born, but a newborn is born. And as a result of that, they're shaking and they're crying and they're screaming because they are born as an addict. Because their mother had taken some drugs or alcohol and leaving them then with the fetal alcohol syndrome or some other addiction. The little body has come to crave whatever that was. And there's no way they can have it. And not only that, it could affect their lives for the rest of their life by giving them a learning, memory, or attention deficit, or inability to even resolve problems later in life. And we wonder why this poor innocent child had to suffer for somebody else's mistake. You know, we have seen and heard in the news many times where good families, and we've known them personally, faithful families, are shattered because they are a result of an irresponsible drunk driver that wiped out either their family or part of it. See, they are suffering for somebody else's sin. So it's not unusual for these disciples following Jesus to say, there's got to be some answer for this reason, for this disease, for the fact he's blind. So if we come to think, you know, we want to know why these things are happening. Why does God allow them to happen? Why doesn't he just stop them? Well, if we look at the scriptures, we can find some reasonable answer, at least a pointing light of why some of these things happen. You know, Jesus gives us an assurance that it is never because they lack concern or love for us. Listen to what Jesus said in John 15, verse 12 and 13. He says it with great compassion. John chapter 15, verse 12 through 13. Now listen truly to what he says here. Starting in verse 12, John 15, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." You see, the Heavenly Father loved his Son dearly. His Son loved his Father dearly. His Son loved his disciples dearly, and he loves us today. And what did he do? He came down and went to the cross. He put his life for ours. He sacrificed himself for what our sins deserve. And so we see that Jesus has proven his love and that he cares every day that he was here on this earth. He showed it every moment. He showed it by resisting temptations which cause us to stumble. He showed it by keeping all the laws that we can't keep. He showed it by taking those who are unable to be healed by their society, unable to associate with anyone because of their disease, and he healed them. He changed their physical lives. Today, he changes our spiritual life. Today, he gives us an opportunity to go to a place that there will never be any diseases or death or anything else afterwards if we just remain faithful to him. He gave his Son to pay that price. Jesus came down and had a choice. He took that cross on him and he paid it because his love for us. Isaiah in chapter 53, verse 3 through 5. Isaiah 53, verse 3 through 5. Isaiah gives a prophecy of how our Lord and Savior is going to come and how we're going to treat him. He was letting him know in the future the Messiah will come. And listen to how he says they will treat him. Starting in verse 3. Isaiah 53 and verse 3, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our face from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." He paid the price. He was telling that, no, even though you may think he won't care, he cared so much that he paid the price. Our Savior showed how much he cared by suffering this greatest horrific tragedy of the human history. He went to that cross and paid the ultimate price that humanity could give him when he was as pure as a newborn lamb. Not a sin on his life, not a mistake made, but he paid for all of ours. It's sometimes easy for us to forget of what he has paid for us. He gave his life for those who were his children. Now, ask yourself this. Would you not give your life for your child? Most of us here, probably all of us, would say yes. If I had that opportunity to save my child by giving my life, I would do that. Jesus did that and more. Not only did he love and give his life for his children, but he gave his life for those who were standing out there calling him names, who had lied about him, who wanted him to be dead. As he hung on the cross of Calvary with spikes to his wrist and his ankles, in writhing and agonizing pain, as he watched those standing out there and still calling names at him and wanting him to die, what was his response? Turn with me to Luke 23. Look at what he said in verse 34. These are our Savior's words. While hanging there in writhing pain, actually looking forward for that moment when all that would stop. And his answer was, in verse 34 of Luke 23, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garment and cast lot. Even though he says, "I want you all forgiven, Father, forgive them all," they still ignored what he was doing. They truly didn't understand. But he knew, and he asked for their forgiveness. Now, if our lives have been hurt and we are facing terrible issues, it's not because Jesus doesn't care. It's not because he's helpless. Because Jesus will take care of his obedient and faithful followers either at the time of our resurrection on Judgment Day or perhaps even sooner. You see, he knows everything in our lives and he is there to help us. I know that you may feel that this doesn't answer your question of why do sorrows and heartbreaking problems come. Let's go back to that event we opened with. When they came upon that blind man and his disciples asked, you remember the question? There in John 9:2, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now Jesus answered there in verse 3. Listen to what he said. "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the work of God should be revealed in him." In effect, Jesus was saying, it isn't sin that brought this about. Sin had nothing to do about him in the past or in the future. It had nothing to do with that. It was to show that when you are worried or afraid or depressed or troubled or terrified and you feel all alone, lost, and unloved, no matter what pain has touched your heart, you have been given a chance. God is giving you a chance. The first thing that comes to your mind is, a chance for what? Well, if you think about it, I can't tell you for what, but I will tell you that he's giving you a chance to see the need that you have for him, to lean on him, to find your love in him, and give your worship and love to him. And in reference to that, when you do, then he is able to give you strength to grow closer to him and to help others. You see, sadly today, there's so many that think, you know, I can do this on my own. I'm okay. I don't need any help guiding me. I can take care of my life, and I can even make my own way into heaven. They're so selfish to think that they don't need anything, and perhaps that's the reason they end up having so many problems, to let them show that they're not what they think they are, or who they think they are, that they need God, and they need that salvation that he offers. And if that is really true, which I believe it is, then he's already shown us so many things to help us understand our dire need for him. Today, it's entirely possible that you maybe not think that you are receiving your answer. Or perhaps it's very possible in the near future that you may have to stand by and watch a loved one suffer something beyond your control to do anything to help. And you too may wonder at that time again, why? Well, God seems to have an answer for that as well. because God is entrusting you with a chance to love somebody in a special way by performing Christian kindness and love, and to demonstrate your faith in the unique way that you believe on Jesus Christ. You know, people will tell when they see you and you're around you, they can tell by your behavior whether you're a Christian or not. But even those who are Christians, when they see you're outpouring love for something that they're going through, whether they're a loved one or not, it brings encouragement to them. This is what Paul says as he wrote to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 through 5. These are inspiring words. He wants them to understand why we go through these troubles. He went through the troubles. He prayed to God three times to let this go. And the Lord told him, I'm sufficient. Listen to what Paul said. In verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 1, he starts and says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the suffering of Christ abounds in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Christians don't have to face life alone. We are told in the scriptures in Hebrews 13 and verse 5 that Christ will never forsake us. He's always there for us. Paul used the word comfort no less than 9 times in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 4 through 7. Comfort was an element of our belief. And in our desperate times, we have to reach out and grab a hold of that comfort through our Holy Father. He will be there to help. You know, God helps us in every crisis of life, not only to endure it, but to overcome it. You know, sometimes people say, that's it, I'll resolve to it. But they never let it go. They never conquer it. They're never able to get past it. And that's what he allows us to do. Come to him, to give to him, and he will not only help us through it, but he'll also help us to overcome it. You see, the Christian who has been through trying experiences is more able to help those who are in trouble today. You know, counselors are not very good until they've had some real experience. I learned a long time ago in interviewing children, you don't tell them, I know how you feel if you've never yourself went through that. You know, children are honest to a fault, and it's sometimes amazing how they can see right through you. Investigating child abuse, I could tell when one was lying and when was not. But you don't ever want to tell them a lie because they will never trust you again. God is the same thing. We can't lie to God. Don't even try to. He is honest to a fault in that he knows everything and he wants us to be honest back with him. So no matter how great the suffering a Christian must go through to endure and suffer, it is matched by the love of God even more. He understands. He never runs out of compassion or love. All Christians will undergo suffering. You know, Jesus said if we do it for his name and suffer, there in 10:22, that we will have to experience those, but he will be there with us to guide us through. God gives man the strength to endure and to overcome. That's so important. You know, you might be able to endure something, but it may be so devastating to you that you never really recover. You have to recover to move on. We see people like the ones I talked a while ago about, this daughter. They overcame. They suffered it, but they overcame. And their love allowed them to share that for 25 years with this daughter. And they finally learned when they heard her say those words that she understood and loved them back. That's what God wants from us. To understand and love him back. You know, Paul tells us that we will have trials because we're a Christian. And in Romans 8:28, that we'll never be deserted as well. The great virtues of Christian growth grows in the soil of affliction. And they are courage, faith, hope, love, and steadfastness. You see, believers know that God is giving them the opportunity to be brought closer to him. That's what we have to do, get closer to him. Are you close to him this morning? Have you allowed him to strengthen you in your trials or tribulation? And if you have not, don't you think it's time that you start? But in order to start, you have to be in his body. If you want his blessings, you have to be a part of his team. You have to be in his son's body by believing that Jesus Christ is his true and living son. You have to be willing to repent from the ways of the world, to turn to him, and then be willing to confess Jesus' name and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And when you do that, then you take the steps to be closer to him. With each step that you take, if you learn to give it to him and come to him and follow him, you'll receive the strength you need. Or if you're a child, but you have fallen short in your commitment, and your faith is growing weak, all you have to do is come home. Christ is willing to accept you. His arms are open. If you're willing to return to him, he's willing to accept you and clear your scorecard as well and give you the strength to continue on. If you work with him, he works with you. If you're subject to the invitation this morning, in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing the invitation song?